be in the book of Luke. And 18, 35,
43. Luke 18. I touched on this Saturday morning. We have prayer meeting at 8:30 here on Saturday mornings, then go out and visit and some things. And I touched on this Saturday morning, yesterday that was, yes. And as I was did this devotion and as I was studying and I was praying and everything else, God just kept bringing it back into my mind and kept bringing it back into my mind. One of the things that came into my mind while I was studying this was one wish. What would it be? One wish. What would it be? In Mark and in Luke, we're going to be in Luke, we have the story of Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. Maybe a well-known story to many of you. But we're going to be looking at it in Luke 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way side begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. He cried and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what will that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for your precious miracles and the lessons and so many things that you teach us out of your Bible. God, I just ask that you'll help me to proclaim it and present it in a clear and precise and understandable manner to the glory of Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Mark, it calls him Bartimaeus, but in the cry of blind Bartimaeus had reached the ears of Jesus. There was a large multitude. There was a large crowd of people. And they were making a big commotion while they went down the road. And this blind man heard all this noise. What's going on here? What's all this racket? And they told him it was Jesus. Well, as soon as he found out who it was, as soon as he found out what all the excitement was about, he wanted Jesus. He wanted to find Jesus. Because when Jesus came in, he made a great noise and commotion, and he wanted to be next to Jesus. There's a whole other lesson there. Many lessons here. Now, Jesus, being God, knew what Bartimaeus wanted. He knew what he wanted. There was no question about it. And Jesus was willing and ready to give him his request, because we know he did here. So why the question? Why the question? Why did he ask him, what will that I shall do unto thee? Why the question? Why did Jesus ask him this question? If Jesus walked up to you today, tapped you on the shoulder, and said, "What will I do unto thee today?" He says, "Jesus, walk up." He says, "What do you want me to do for you today?" If he walked up to you, "What do you want?" But notice here, well, we got to get a little specific here, what he said here. "What will I do unto thee?" Not "what do you want?" "What do you want me to do to you?" A lot of our prayers are very general in nature. Many times, they're vague, not precise. "God, heal all the sick people in the world," you know. "God, help all the missionaries." What missionaries? Which missionaries? What do they need? What do the missionaries need? Just general, just help them, God. Help them. You know what they need. Just help them. You know what they need. That's not very, you know, you don't even know what's going on. "God, deliver me from sin." What sin? What's been tempting you? What's bothering you? "Well, we don't want to get into that. You know, just tell me with sin. You know, we don't want to get into all the details, particulars. You know, just forgive me for sin, God. Just help me with that. God, forgive me for all my sins." Well, that's not talking to God. It's not being specific. If you go out target practicing, Garrett's been practicing with his daddy a little bit, me a little bit with the BB gun. If you go out target practicing, and you just go, boop, 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 you don't aim, you're going to hit nothing every time because you're aiming at nothing. If you aim at nothing, you will hit the bullseye every time. Because you're just no specifics. Just boom, 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 boom. Making noise, whatever. That's all you're doing. Many prayers are just making noise. Just, you know, just a lot of talk. Not aiming, nothing specific. Just going out there, just general. Does Jesus know what you need? Yes. Does Jesus want to give you what you need? Yes. But if we stop in our prayer life and we stop and think about what we're praying, it teaches us to have a self-evaluation in our life. It demands time and thought. It demands effort. What is our greatest need? It also puts our prayers to the test. Are what you're wanting, your desires, are they honest? Are what you want real desires that you have? Is your desires according to the Word of God? The will of God? Do we really believe that we're going to have our prayers granted? All the time, Jesus says, "Your faith has done this, your faith has done that." Do we really believe He's going to answer our prayer? And if we have a specific prayer, then we can have a specific answer. If we just have a general prayer, how do we know if it's answered? As God listens to your prayer life, He says, What do you really expect me to do? What do you really expect me to do? If we will, in silence, bow our souls before God and meditate and say, what really is my desire? Do I really expect God to answer this? Do I want it? And am I ready to place this request in God's hands and let Him take care of it for me? Am I ready to do that? Are things settled between me and God as I bring my request to Him? Are we in communication? Am I all right? Am my sins forgiven? Am I all right between God and me? Are we on talking terms here with God? See, a lot of these prayers that we... this is our power to God. This is our contact with God. And as a born-again child of God, as a Christian, you have a privilege that no one else in the world has to talk to God. We need to understand that that is a great privilege to be able to talk to the Creator of the universe, the one that dwells in your soul, the one that died on the cross. You have a privilege beyond comprehension and understanding to be able to talk to God. It's not just some... you know, it is an honor and a privilege. If you was going to go talk to somebody big and important, you'd have your speech all planned out, you'd have it all figured out, and you'd know what she's going to, you'd have a plan. Well, God deserves greater than that. God deserves some time and consideration and a plan when you talk to Him. The Lord does not say, what do you wish? What do you will? There's a difference. I wish to have a big stereo or something, whatever. But I'm not willing to pay the price to have it. Got a lot of wishes, but the cost is too high, so I'm not willing. The sluggard wishes to be rich, but he's not willing. The will rules your heart. The heart rules the life. I wish this or I wish that or whatever. But I'm not willing to do what it takes to get it. So your will governs your life. You want all this stuff, but are you willing to put through with it? Blind Bartimaeus made his living by begging on the street. No sweat, no blisters. No tired muscles. Just sat there. When he received his sight, his whole life changed. Everything changed. The way he lived changed. No more begging on the street. He had to actually get up and go get a job and go to work. He could have said, Jesus, I just want you to make sure I have a meal every day. Jesus, I want you to make sure that somebody puts some money in my cup every day. I don't want to change too much. I just don't want to be uncomfortable. That isn't what he asked for, was it? Jesus is asking, if we really want to have what we're asking for, at any price, however great the sacrifice. Many of our prayers are sent up to God for just a short time, and then they're forgotten. Or maybe they're just sent up year after year just out of duty, just out of habit. But not from the heart. What if Barnabas had just told Jesus, Jesus, you just give me whatever you think I need. Because I really don't know what you want to do in my life. Sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Blind Barnabas, here's Jesus coming by. Here's all the commotion, all this excitement going on and everything. All this going on. And he says, come on over here, Barnabas. Come on over here. What do you want me to do to you? Oh, I don't know, Jesus. Just whatever you think I need. You know, I don't know what you want to do in my life. I don't know which way I need to go. I don't know which direction you have. Just give me whatever you think I need. We say that so many times. We say that so many times ourselves. Is it because we don't know what God wants to do? Now, there's some times like that, yes. But most of the time, it's we don't want to figure it out. We don't want to spend the time in the Bible and in our prayer time and in our meditation to see what God wants to do in our life. We don't want to find out from God. We don't want to spend the effort and the time and the energy to get in a close fellowship with God to see what He wants to do. Number two reason is, you really know in the back of your mind, and you're not willing to go there. You just kind of block that part out, you know. I really know God wants me to whatever. But, and you just don't think about it. You just block it out. Well, I want to do this, or I think this ought to be good, or this ought to be fun. I don't do that. God, give me this. God, do this. I want to do that. That is called spiritual slothness. You know what a sloth is? One of those animals that goes real slow, just hangs by two toes all the time upside down. Lazy spirit. Having no will, all my will is given to God. Because he fears the trouble of searching out the will of God. Hypothetical question here. found this little, I was thinking about Aladdin's lamp. You know, a little Aladdin's lamp, all of those stores, you know. Guy's going along the beach or somewhere and he finds this lamp and he picks it up and he starts polishing it and rubbing it. Genie pops out, you know. All kinds of jokes, all kinds of stories about all that pops out. What's your wish? Get three wishes or get one wish or five, whatever, you know. What if that happened in real life? What if that happened? Genie pops up, you got one wish. And you can't wish for more wishes, you know. You have one wish. Just one wish. Whatever you want in all of the world. Just whatever it is. Anything you want in all the world. You can have it. Whatever it is. Anything you want. $1 billion. Anything you want. $1 trillion. Whatever you want. Mansions. To fly. What do you want? What? With all the possibilities of the world, what do you want? As I was thinking about this, I was remembering two Easters ago, we found out our son had a brain tumor. All the stuff that's happened to these years and all that stuff and everything. What would I want? Would I want that to never have happened? That could be a wish. Wife's lost some siblings. Maybe that could be a wish. Bring them back. Maybe you've lost a spouse or something. Bring them back. Maybe you wish you were 30 years old again. You know? Maybe, you know? Maybe you wished all your credit cards were paid off. Maybe you wish you had a better job, bigger house. I don't know. Your health, whatever. One wish. One wish. In all of the world. All of the world. What would you want? What would you say is your greatest need in all of the world? Just not for some, just for you. Not for somebody else, just for you. He asked blind Bartimaeus, "What wilt that I'll do unto thee?" What do you want him to do? And are you willing for that to happen in your life? Are you, you know, maybe you know what the greatest need is you have. Are you willing to let God touch your life and bring that about? What wilt thou I do unto thee? Takes a lot of thinking, doesn't it? It's really kind of mind-boggling. I've thought about all of these things. Went to sleep thinking about it. All these things. And I sing about a song about God's been good. I said I wouldn't change anything. Because I look back at what's happened in our son's life because of this, and God's brought him through it. Look at what he's done in our families, churches around, everything else because of this. Made some mistakes in my life, oh, for sure. But you know, right now, I think, is that I could be spiritual. May sound a strange thing for the pastor to say. But I wish I'd be closer to God. I wish that I could be what He wants me to be. It's not a question of what He wants me to be. It's a question of willing to let Him be that in my life. It's not a matter of trusting Him, taking care of us, home, food, clothes, all that's not a matter of any of that. But being willing to let God have His, me be willing. You know, the example He taught us to pray, Thy will be done in heaven. I mean, to be done on earth as it is in heaven or in Thy kingdom. The Lord's Prayer teaches how to pray. You see, the beginning of the prayer is, you know, He's our Father, He's our Lord and all that stuff. But for Him to have free will in our lives, how does that take place? By us giving up our will to Him. I know some very spiritual men. And it seems like they always know what's going on, what to do, and which way to go. It's not a problem with them. I've been with some in some very turmoil situations. And went to God in prayer and had a decision and went through with it. Went with it. And it worked out. Because they were willing to let God be in charge of every aspect of their life. But the question is, willing enough to do it. This is your heart's desire. This is your heart's desire. At any cost, no matter what it is that your total heart's desire? Maybe it's different for somebody else. I don't know. Not being disrespectful to God. But you get your Bible. Rub it a little. Open it up. And the promises of God flow from it. They flow from it. Promises He has for His people. Be precious to you. They're there. Many of them have conditions. Some of them are unconditional. There are many promises in the Bible. I saved something from
one of my junior church object lessons one time. I keep it in my Bible. A little heart with big muscles. I keep that in my Bible. Because that's where it comes from. Is right here. It's here. Do you have Jesus dwelling in your heart? Has there been a time that you actually went to Jesus and trusted Him for your salvation? Nothing else. Nothing else. No organization, no religion, no baptism, no nothing. Just Jesus. If you've done that, then you have the Father of lights dwelling in your heart. No shadow of turning. And all good gifts come down from above. Right here. Right here. What do you want God to do in your life? Are you willing to let it happen? Let's stand at our feet while we have a time of prayer and invitation. Dear Jesus, we ask that You'll help me, God, help me. And God, we ask here this morning that there's one here that doesn't know You as their Savior, that they're not certain, they're not positive about it. They don't have it nailed down in their life. That today will be the day that they get it right. And Jesus, I ask, as You trouble each and every one of our hearts here today, that we'll seriously consider what we want You to do in our lives. And we will let it happen. We will let it happen. We will not resist it. We will not fight it. We will give in to it. We'll totally trust Your will. We ask this in the name of Jesus.